Thank you, Jacob, for that song. I've never heard that before, so that's very fitting for this morning. Steve, a couple weeks ago, asked me to bring the Mother's Day sermon since he is roughing it on a cruise this weekend. He thought that since Kristen and I have a newborn, that it would be fitting. Maybe I had special insight to give on Mother's Day, as if I've had a mother any longer than the rest of you. I have a quick story. I have an oldest sister who lives in Amarillo, and her husband and two kids. One day they're around the dinner table talking about their favorite D words. It was Dad's turn, he said, "Duodenum." The two kids, my nephews, said, "What is that? What is duodenum?" He explained that it was part of the intestine. And the youngest one said, "Okay, Dad, but is it a part of the old intestine or new intestine?" I told that story to Steve, and he told me that I had to find a place to fit it in my sermon, but for the life of me, I could not, so I just figured I would lead with it. This morning, you may have looked at your bulletin in the order of worship and read to yourself, "What angry birds can teach us on Mother's Day." And you might be like Steve, who, when I pitched this idea to him, looked at me with a completely blank stare. Luckily, though, Jackie D. Woody was there, who got out her iPhone and explained to Steve that this is actually an iPhone app. It is about a year, maybe 2 year old phenomenon. And the waitress that was standing behind Steve and Jackie, catering to another table while Jackie was showing Steve this game, the waitress right behind them said, "Oh, I love that game. That game is the best." But if you don't know what this game, Angry Birds, is, don't abandon hope yet. Hope is not lost. You will still catch the sermon this morning, I promise you. But let me try to fill you in on what this game is. Angry Birds is an iPhone app. And if you still don't know what an iPhone app is, come over to where the youth group sits after service, and I'm sure they will all be proud to show you on their iPhones or Androids or whichever what these apps are. That I'm sure all of them have Angry Birds. Or in fact, you could probably find Dylan Neve, who's 3 years old, who knows more about technology and iPhone applications than probably a lot of you in the audience right now. I've seen him navigate through different games on his dad's iPhone, and it's intimidating how good he is. but it is a game that you play on your phone, and let me show you the objective of this game. In the opening scene that you see here on the screen, you find out that evil pigs have captured the eggs of these birds. Hence the game, they become angry, they are angry birds. They have stolen the birds' eggs, these evil pigs, and plan on scrambling them for breakfast, or lunch or dinner. I'm happy to have breakfast at any time of day, so we're not sure. But anyway, so the mother's goal is to retrieve their precious eggs by being shot out of this slingshot, hurling themselves and launched at these fortifications that the pigs have made to protect themselves. So, youth group, do you know what happens to the birds after they hit these fortifications? What happens? Poof! They explode. They're done for. And so they sacrifice life and limb. They each see the bird right before them being shot out of this slingshot, hurled at these fortifications, and then explode. But they still get up in these slingshots, and you still fire them away at these fortifications. And so they sacrifice life and limb. And I'm sure at the last level of this game, you'll see these angry birds, probably now happy, being reunited with their eggs because they've defeated the evil pigs. I'm sure there's a scene like that at the end, but I haven't gotten that far, so don't ruin it for me yet if you know. But anyway, so these mother birds hurl themselves without a thought or a care to rescue their eggs, their precious babies, their children. And that serves as a starting place for us this morning. Through sacrifice, mothers impart gifts to us three of which we will explore in more detail. The first is the gift of humility. And when we talk about Christ's example of humility, we read in Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant." So we see here that humility is best demonstrated through servanthood and sacrifice. And everyone knows that a mother in the truest form demonstrates servanthood. She serves her children in limitless fashion, feeding, clothing, bathing, comforting them. And furthermore, when I reflect about humility, I think about Romans 12:1, that says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Sometimes that phrase, living sacrifice, might be a little confusing, because you don't hear that often. You hear sacrifice, you know, you kill an animal in the Old Testament, it's dead. But living sacrifice, what does that look like? I have the answer. Those angry birds, they don't care about how crazy they look. They have no qualms about how they appear being stuffed into this slingshot and flown into these fortifications of the evil pigs. They are on a mission. They'll give anything, even their life, to save their babies. But if you need a human visual this morning, go find Holly Roselle, go find Jenny Anderson, go find Holly Belt, any of the pregnant women here at church, and you will see what a living sacrifice really looks like. You often have to give up some of your favorite foods as a pregnant mother because they start to make you sick. You have to give up your schedule since you have to go to the bathroom every 30 seconds. You even have to give up travel plans during the last trimester because you can't be far away from home. Or if you're like my wife, Krista, when she was pregnant, you can't even go to the next room without calling for some help to roll off the couch. So you live in discomfort. You have to take those humongous prenatal vitamins that smell absolutely terrible. And you sacrifice everything for that little baby growing inside of you to keep him or her healthy, happy, and safe. This kind of sacrifice is ultimate humility. Just like an angry bird, a mother doesn't care about her appearance, and she cares even less about getting recognition for any of her heroic actions. She acts wholeheartedly and humbly. She'll do anything to save her children. It's the perfect metaphor for what Christ is for us. He wasn't stuffed into a slingshot and hurled into the air, but he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. That's Isaiah 53:5. He acted wholeheartedly. He acted humbly. He served with all his being. In fact, I would contend that you can't even be a Christian without first being a servant. And he did everything to save his children. A second gift that we receive from our mothers is the gift of compassion. Here, I'll go back to our angry bird friends, where we see their compassion and their desire to alleviate the suffering that will surely afflict their children if they do not act quickly to save them. We see a similar example of motherly compassion in Exodus 2, when Pharaoh's daughter sees this floating basket in the reeds. Verse 5 says, "Pharaoh's daughter opened the basket and saw the baby. He was crying, and she had compassion on him." In fact, the imagery of motherhood is so strong that God chooses to reveal his own compassion using the language of motherhood, as we read in these next couple verses. Isaiah 66:13 says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. And has anybody been to City Lake Park recently? If you have, you've seen about 50 ducklings following, waddling behind their mothers. Just so cute. We've been probably every other day feeding them and taking videos and things, but it made me think of this verse, Matthew 23:37, where Matthew is talking in the Old Testament about the Lord speaking, saying, "How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." Every mother can understand this illustration of compassion. Every mother who's seen her child hurt, whether it's from a broken knee, a skinned knee, or a broken heart, she knows what it is to have compassion, the desire to take away pain from her child, taking them under her wings. But one of the greatest stories of compassion that I know is a personal story that involves my same older sister and her family. Nearly 6 years ago, her eldest son, Cannon, was diagnosed with a rare genetic disease that threatened to take his life before his fourth birthday if he didn't receive a liver transplant. Meanwhile, hundreds of miles away, a different mother was experiencing her own worst nightmare. Her son Tyler had been killed in a tragic horseback riding accident. In the midst of her own sorrow, Tyler's mother had heard about Cannon's story. Having just lost her own child and recognizing an extraordinary opportunity to keep another family from experiencing that same grief, Tyler's mother made a decision. The decision to sacrifice part of her very self, part of her own son, in order to alleviate the suffering of another. Compassion is defined as a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for one another who is stricken by misfortune, and more than that, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Tyler's mother embodied compassion when she gave Tyler's liver to Cannon, saving his life. Just as she knew what it meant to have compassion, God shows us what it means to be compassion. When he made his own decision to sacrifice part of his own very self, his son, to alleviate our sinful suffering. Third, and the most important gift that our mothers pass down to us is the gift of faithfulness. Don't forget our angry bird friends. Even they remain faithful in their divine task to raise up the next generation, whatever the cost. I'm sure in Angry Birds 2.0, we would see these freshly hatched birdlings going after the same extremes where their eggs taken by evil pigs, because they witnessed their own faithfulness of their mothers doing the same for them. Okay, but really, biblically we see this happen with Timothy, whose mother and grandmother are specifically told, pass down their faith to Timothy. Lois and Eunice, Timothy's mother and grandmother, did such a job passing down their faith to Timothy that Paul describes Timothy as my true son in the faith. Paul himself, Timothy became what Barnabas the encourager could never become, the inheritor of Paul's mission. In essence, Paul said this, Timothy, I know your grandmother and her faith is authentic. It is the same faith I observed in your mother, and after having watched you all this time, I am convinced of your faith also. The word sincere here is the word that Paul chooses to describe Timothy's faith, and in Greek this word is anupokritu, meaning, on, meaning without, and upokritu, hypocrite, or hypocrisy. So this faith that Timothy's mother and grandmother gifted to Timothy is described as without hypocrisy. If they told Timothy they had faith in Christ, their actions matched their beliefs. When mothers pass down their faith to their children with actions that match what they teach, they receive the highest accolade their children can muster. You gave me an authentic faith, a sincere faith, a anupokritu faith. I'm reminded of a family I'm not sure if I see them this morning, but I was over at their house for dinner one day, and I could tell immediately that their son knew how to pray. I'm not going to embarrass the father by mentioning his name, but the son's name was Ryan Gilmore. And Glenn started blessing the food and kind of blessed it some more, and we were holding hands, and Ryan started smelling that food, and Glenn kept praying, and Ryan said, "Okay, say amen." So we can tell that Ryan is being taught how to pray. He knows how to end a prayer. So are you teaching your children how to pray? Are you teaching your children how to read Scripture? Mothers are the molders and makers of nearly all people, passing down attitudes, counsel, and advice to growing children. It is those same attitudes that will carry us into our daily decisions. I have heard it said from a woman, a mother, that the wife and mother usually hoist the sails of the family ship every day. We determine whether those sails shall catch the breezes of God's love and mercy or the winds of bickering and discord. We read that Timothy's every day was steered by the sails of faith from his mother and his grandmother. They taught Timothy how to live according to that faith by making known to him the scriptures from his infancy. I'm reminded of a story that goes like this. One day, four ministers stood talking. As so often happens, the conversation drifted to shop talk. "I prefer the King James Version of Scripture," offered one, "for its eloquent use of the English language." A second minister gave forth that no Bible could match the New American Standard for its faithfulness to the original Greek and Hebrew text. The third said, "That well may be, but I prefer the New International Version for its contemporary language and easy readability." There was a thoughtful period of silence, and the fourth minister said, "I prefer my mother's translation." The others looked at him and said, "I didn't know your mother had translated the Bible." He said, "Yes, she translated it into her daily life, and that's how I came to know faith." Many of us were blessed with mothers or have the opportunity to be mothers who translate God's word and thus the essence of faithfulness into daily life and imparting that to their children. I personally have my own mother to thank for praying with me every single night growing up when she tucked me in bed and reminding me of Scripture when I needed it most, and most of all being a living example of that word daily. Today especially may we be reminded of our mother's biblical illustrations of humility, compassion, and faithfulness, remembering that the ultimate legacy was handed down by our Heavenly Father's perfect parenting example. I have 16 more gifts that that mothers impart on their children that I'd like to describe. Steve told me that Mother's Day is the number one day of the year for eating out, so it's going to be crowded, so I figure we might as well just stay till about 2:30. So I'll preach till then, and we'll just skip right over the crowd, so y'all don't even have to worry about it. I'm just kidding. Steve actually asked us to be out extra early this morning at 11 o'clock. So I'm going to shut this down, but just pray that as a mother, that you're able to impart that faith, your faith, the faith of the generations before you onto your children. And if you have anything this morning that you would like prayers for, maybe you're a mother who needs help raising her children up in the Lord. The scriptures, Paul tells us, he gives the old women in the congregation advice to help the younger women raise their children up and instruct them.